Chapter 33. Lysander, Master of the Spoils. The transfer of Phobos is nearly complete, and so far Virginia has honoured her word. That is good. It means this war need not end with a genocide on Mars. Yet it is still war. So, to rub salt in their wounds, I host the battle honours as the last Republic ship leaves the moon. Amidst the golds in their shining panoply, and the greys under their proud standards, a feeble man walks carrying my once white cape. It is dark with blood and soot now. The man is as ruined as the cape. He is terribly burned, and looks like a wax sculpture that sat too close to a fire. He is not the same man I gave my cloak to. That man is dead. This one was from my own Clawdrill. His gnarled hand trembles as he gives me back my cape. I drape it over my arm. It is filthy. His words are so slurred I cannot hear what he says. I bend and pin on his uniform a golden phalera of a torch burning a moon. He looks down at the torch and begins to sob. I rest a hand on his unburned forearm. This pain is temporary. Your glory is forever. Hail Orlo of Gamma! Thousands roar his name. Softly I say, I will make you whole. You are part of my house, and so you are part of me. Come to me when you are healed, and whatever you ask, you will have.
Hail, Loon,
he whispers out of his lipless mouth.
Hail, Loon.
Tears well in my eyes. I let them flow as I pin Phalera on the few Helldivers who remain, before moving up the hierarchy. All who partook in the battle will receive a Phalera. Precious few are gold, and come with the patron favour, an opportunity to approach me at any time later in life and ask for a boon. When I come to the Greys, I kiss Marcus, Demetrius, Kyber, and Drusilla on their cheeks. Roan doesn't want a medal. He's already a dux. Fresh honours would be stealing valour from the men, he said. There are many Blues who earned honours, but none as much as Pytha. In addition to her charge on Phobos, when the Lightbringer was no longer fit to fight, she turned it into a refuge. She saved countless lives by using the ship to collect thousands of wounded and escape pods from damaged rim crafts during the pitch of battle. To her, I give the civic crown. Made of common oak leaves, it is the highest decoration a general can give. Unlike lesser Phalera, its worth is not enhanced by the precious metals that make it, but rather only by the honour itself of receiving it, because no price can be put on the saving of lives. Later it will be tattooed onto her head to carry with her for life. I feel immense gratitude for her. Only when I saw her again did I cry for Ajax. She knew what he meant to me. I told many stories of our childhood to her when we sailed on the Archimedes. She held me in her arms, and I felt safe not having to be strong. When at last I come to the Golds, I look out with particular affection at the several dozen new men and women who made their marks. In you I see the future the conquerors intended, I tell them. Virtuous knights defending the rights of all colours to live in worlds of peace, order, and prosperity. It is you, new shepherds, who will carry the flame of the society. To you, no honours will be given. To be gold is honour enough. Instead, I levy a burden. Roan brings out custom razors, each with a pearl crescent on the leather grip. I cut the cheek opposite their peerless scars before giving them their blades. They stare at me as if I were Selinius himself. The room bursts into applause. I see Pytha watching the red who brought the cape, Orlo. Though he is burned, he claps and hollers in almost pathetic joy. For a moment, she looks sad, Can she not see what I am doing here? She will. They all will, after I finish this blasted war. With the ceremony done, I return to Rhone and he attaches my cape. What was white is now stained in blood. I do not turn my back, as is custom, to see if they will give me the highest honour a citizen can receive, an honour higher even than the civic crown, because it can only be given to a general by the acclaim of his troops, the grass crown. Instead, I face them, signalling that I do not deserve honours. They like that. Rhone says the ritual words in my ear. Remember, you live for the fallen, for at your word they ran to the grave. Make not their sacrifice be ever in vain. A hologram glows to life to show the great statue of Darrow standing astride Phobos's north pole. A ship from all my major allies fires on the statue as one. As his monument crumbles, the figureheads Darrow's hands imprisoned are liberated at last. Centaurs, suns, eagles, crescents, skulls, gold all, scatter out to space. We will let them go. And the retreating Republic? They watch their idol fall. Per aspera ad astra, we roar. Pink acrobats twirl over the couches arrayed in Victor's garden. I pluck a grape from a passing servant's tray and plop it in my mouth. I worried I'd be seen as weak for reaching a compromise with Virginia. Far from it. My allies are elated. They could care less that we let the enemy retreat. Phobos itself is the prize, and not even Apollonius liked the style of war it was taking to claim it, though he was responsible for most of our gains. I saved us a year of blood and treasure, and won us a second dockyards for our faction, and a beachhead for our siege of the planet, and all it took was a little compromise. I am heady with success, but in no mood to celebrate.
Is it possible for you to relax?
Julia Albalona pours me a glass of wine from the pitcher. Don't I look relaxed? I ask, and sip the wine.
Looking and being relaxed are very different things, young man.
She sighs.
Apollonius swore this party would be tasteful, so as not to offend our dusty guests, but honestly, I expected that to mean the pinks would be edible,
Julia says, with a leer at the Dominion couches. She lies on her side next to me, pretending to be drunker than she is.
Either humility has curbed his libido, or you have a stronger rein on him than I thought.
I come back from my thoughts of Ajax and shift my blood-stained cloak before sipping my wine.
I can't vouch for his libido, but I believe your Lancer Pallas is quickly becoming an authority on the subject. I warn you, the southern route is not always the way to Apollonius's heart.
Julia laughs.
Prostitute my Lancer? Vile.
She's special. Like a daughter to me, really. Pallas, far more seriously dressed than she was at my party, is interrogating Helios Aulux, and he seems to be enjoying it. Missing is his shadow, Diomedes.
Pallas is curious by nature, especially about powerful, simple men.
Julia eyes me.
Just not the ones who spit in her patron's eye in public.
Me? I ask, mock offended.
You? I financed half this endeavour, and you give Apollonius the dockyard. I should have you poisoned for that.
Yet here we are, cozy as thieves, I reply. I promised Apollonius the dockyards in exchange for being a military marvel, which he was not. Who knows that better than he? I ask.
Cicero, she replies.
Still pouting?
Still.
Good. The little idiot.
I will say, at least Apollonius pouts ferociously.
I glance at Apollonius.
The man reclines on a couch all to his own, drinking wine by the pitcher and having his feet mutilated by a red masseur with hands the size of dinner plates. He's not pouting. He's furious. You can't chastise or put reins on Apollonius. All you can do is consistently deliver until he realizes it's his turn.
Which would be now, I presume, she says. Or he'd have fixed his face.
I nod. Apollonius's gunshot wound to the face is as ugly as he is usually beautiful.
I think he's the only man I've ever met where his exterior always matches his interior. Take Cassius, for instance. Such a strong outer chin.
Her eyes dart to me. I have no idea what she actually thinks of Cassius.
Word on that.
If they try to sneak into Mars, we'll catch them, I say. Helios assured me. For Darrow, he's pulled out all the stops. I pause as an acrobat descends on a column of silk. The pink comes to a stop upside down with her eyes very close to mine. Her breath is scented with cloves and roses.
We are talking, I say.
I don't mind, Julia says. Go on, blow off some steam.
I remain looking at the pink until she retreats back up the silk with a sigh. All my energy is focused on this war, Julia. I literally don't care about anything but our path forward.
That's a little pathological and unhealthy.
They cut off Ajax's head, I say. People are dying. The man who gave me this cape today, the Red, his face was half melted.
If you saw the look in his eyes, the faith, he believes we know what we are doing. I will not let him down.
She holds my gaze.
Good. I also tire of petty things, but I need honesty.
Fine. I didn't give you the dockyards because I didn't need to, because you can't push the issue or take them back. And if you had them, you'd be too powerful. Mars always needs two families, one with helium, the other with military might.
So that's to be Bellona and I'm to be August, she asks. Gross.
Who won that battle?
I let him have the yards so I can give you the planet.
There is a particular quiet to a powerful person when they realize just how much more powerful they could become. They usually say nothing for quite some time, like Julia right now.
I know we've lost a lot of ships. I know you're worried about Atalantia. But Virginia thinks we are going to settle in here, recover our losses now that we have two dockyards. Build up a massive fleet until we attack. Everyone does, even Helios. He's already complaining about it. I say we shock the worlds. Hit them in 3 days. A full iron rain with everything we've got.
Her mouth falls open.
Lysander!
If you want the planet, you will back me. I'm going to propose it at the end of this party.
I know Atalantia. She won't let us become more powerful than her. She will intervene.
So let's move while she's tied up with Luna still.
Speed is our weapon. Rhone says it can be done. Apollonius is a nuke about to explode. Cicero wants redemption.
The Rim is impatient to get this over with. We have the momentum. Darrow isn't down there. Let's win this.
Horatia is right now working on Dido. If Dido is in, we can protect our flanks from Atalantia. So I'm going to go see if she is in. You think it through. Think fast. Speed is our weapon. Let's make Mars yours. I stand. She stares up at me.
When did you get such balls?
When my friends started dying for me.
She grabs my wrist.
It's your allies here who are taking the risk. The Rim will, of course, agree with this. You are trying to impress them.
Unity. I thought that was just rhetoric.
No?
Julia, it is not the society without the Rim.
But before the society was anything else, it was an idea. That idea is what we need to reclaim. We are in this together. I tap my temple and pull my arm away. Dido's companions, a warmer variety of her chilly species, at least compared to Helios's fortress of isolationists, welcome me to join them on their couches next to Horatia. So, golden boy, you spared us a looming disaster by sweet-talking Augustus. What next? That's what I came over to ask you to.
Dido hasn't given me her answer yet, Horatia says.
We already know what Helios will say, I reply. But Helios won't stick around if Adelantia comes when we're taking the planet. He'll just pass the work off to her. Job done. So, if Adelantia comes and gives you an ultimatum, leave now or protect us, what will you do?
Dido watches me carefully.
What do you want, Lysander?
I want the morning chair. I want Adelantia to die. She killed my parents because my mother and father were reformers.
Dido glances at Horatia. Horatia nods.
With the rim, I want your people to believe you're more than your utility to us. That we take risks together and share the rewards together. I know you have all the food you need from Demeter's garden, but I know your civilization needs a better source of helium. Privation need not be a way of life. I want Martian helium fueling a second age of prosperity in the rim. I want reforms here. I nod up to the Pinks. I want them to be shifted to the arts, not processed for consumption. I want more dignity, less violence, more law. And I want you and I to be able to talk to one another directly without mystery and intrigue. It's the only way we're going to fix these worlds after the war.
Dido leans back.
When I first met you, I thought you were a conniving little shit with too much ambition for his own good. You're all those things, but all this isn't for just your own good, is it?
Only in my weaker moments.
She glances at her friends. One by one, they nod.
There it is, then. If Adelantia comes, we won't run. And if Helios tries, he'll have to be the first Rim Imperator in history to abandon his own on a field of battle.
She leans forward. He'd rather eat glass than have that after his name in the history books. Horatia touches my hand. I smile at her and stand.
I'll give the speech after dinner. Is Diomedes here? I ask.
Looking at flowers and not picking them, as usual.
Her companions almost smile. I look up at the pink acrobats.
No. The actual flowers. You know, Lysander, I like Horatia here, but the only reason we are talking like this is because of my son.
He's your champion, in private at least. I frown. Could have fooled me.
Don't abuse him, please. He's far more gentle than he appears.
I leave to wander Victor's gardens in search of Diomedes. The stars twinkle through the trees as I walk, and I feel a sense of satisfaction. Despite the difficulties, things are coming together. With the help of the Praetorian standing watch, I find the Rim Knight crouched over blue aura flowers near a running spring.
You're a hard man to find, I say.
Not really. I'm the only one in the garden.
I had to ask the Praetorians. Didn't even know the garden went back this far.
Did you have to ask the soldiers, or did you want to?
He bends to look at a brilliant crimson flower shaped like a sword.
It's good to have a common touch with the men. I eat with mine.
Every meal I hear.
He points to the flower.
We don't have these. What are they called?
I pause.
The vanquished foe.
His eyes darken, and he examines it for a few moments before standing in disgust.
A bad name for a mediocre flower in a meagre garden. Compared to your horticulture, it must be.
He turns on me, stone-faced. How is your heart?
Your friend. I hear his head was returned today. You gave him a sun death.
I frown, about to lie.
Hurting. Thank you for asking. You're the only one here who has.
Why do you think that is?
Ajax was an asshole. No one mourned Tharsis either. I'm not sure even Apollonius has brought him up once.
He says nothing. I nod toward the path and we begin to walk.
You spoke with your mother about me, I say.
He waits for me to go on.
Thank you. Why did you?
He considers.
If the Rim and Kor refuse to be allies, it seems inevitable we will become adversaries. In either case, I think it would be preferable to deal with you than Atalantia.
Your father and your mentor are both isolationists, I say.
Yes.
He nods toward the party.
Our ways are older than yours in the Rim. We have older sayings because of it, older biases. Helios thinks we can burn the bridge behind us.
He lifts his eyebrows.
The Kor will always be more powerful than the Rim. In a war we could never win. We could only make it not worth your while. In short, you seem to do what you say. I do what I say always. I think that is important.
So do I. I said Mars must fall. I meant it. Tonight I'm going to propose we launch an iron rain as soon as possible. I would like to be able to say you and I have agreed to fall in the vanguard. Me with my Praetorians, you with your...
Lysander, you are bleeding.
I check my wounds.
Your eyes.
My fingers come away with blood as I wipe my eyes, and the ocular nerves ache with a dull pain.
No. No, not now. Not like this.
Diomedes is about to call out for help. I stop him.
Kyber, I say.
A pause. Step away, Aura, Kyber whispers. Diomedes jumps up when Kyber slips from the shadows.
Kyber, I am poisoned. It's the Lament. Get Roan.
Kyber freezes. She knows the Lament.
Kyber! She's gone, Diomedes says. What can I do?
The pain is growing exponentially worse by the second. I can barely keep my eyes open. Was it the wine Julia poured? The grapes? A flower in the garden?
Atalantia.
It has to be Atalantia. The pain has spread to my spine. I bend like an old man.
What can I do?
The pain is in my legs now, and my balls now. It's like a pressure made of fire. I sit down and try to stay as still as possible. I can barely breathe. The party in the distance is growing blurry.
Keep them together, I whisper.
I can't hear him reply, it hurts so bad.
Drills burrow into my temples.
I reach for the mind's eye. Octavia said the mind's eye could stop poison from spreading through the body, but I don't know how to use it that way. I try to feel my body, to slow my heartbeat, but all I sense is agony and loneliness. I know it's from the Lament, but I cannot shake the abyss opening inside me. It swallows me until I feel nothing but pain and sorrow. I am alone in a hole, a boy sobbing.
I want to die. I want to die.